Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Here we are, everybody. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle, post-football season edition. The season's over. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. We're going to talk about this game in depth. We'll go over some of the biggest moments. Joining us today at 4 o'clock in place of the professor will be Paul Moyer. He's a professor traveling, I assume, coming back.
Oh, I think we'll hear all about that. Yeah.
You think we'll get the details on that, on the travels of John Clayton?
Yeah.
Okay. But for today, anyway, we'll have Paul Moyer at 4 o'clock. So it's in the books. The season is wrapped up, and we all thought the 49ers would win. I was desperately wanting that. I was trying to talk myself into a Chiefs win. I just couldn't do it. I'm happy I was wrong.
It was weird, man. I was watching with my family, and my daughter called me out because there was a couple of times where Niners made plays, and I was like, yeah! And they're like, what are you doing?
Who are you?
I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know, because when we got closer to the game, you know who the guy is, and we'll talk about this later, who sold me, was Andy Reid. Andy Reid did it was a little interview with Jimmy Johnson. And
yeah, I watched that. It was great.
It was fantastic, and it made you just love him, because a couple of things. You saw that his players all wore Hawaiian shirts on the plane that were the same as what he wears.
That's cool.
And then, you know, he was talking about him, you know, and about his age and everything. And he goes, well, they all kind of look at me like I'm a dad. The other thing that I saw was a highlight where Travis Kelce comes running off, all fired up off the field, and he slaps, you know, hands with Andy Reid, and Andy Reid kind of winces like, ah, that hurt. And you could see him kind of holding his hand, and Kelce just keeps going. But then he was explaining the whole punt, pass, and kick thing that they show all the time.
That will never get old.
Oh, that's right. He was
me.
In that, wasn't he?
He looked
what,
like a
12, and he was a lot bigger than the
he
other.
He was 13.
13.
He was 13, and the kid standing behind him was 8 years old, yeah. And looked like he was 4.
Right. And so he was trying to, he goes, hey, well, I'm taking a lot of heat for this. So let me, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he's like, let me just clear this up. The kid behind me was an 8-year-old, and I was a pretty big 13-year-old. So, and then he divulges the fact that he lost because there was two guys, and he came in second. And, yeah, it just the way he talked about it, he talked about how humbled he is by people wanting him to win and everything, and that yet, you know, he just, you know, and here he is, an old guy, and, you know, everybody talks about modernization of football. I thought the whole thing was won on the defensive line of scrimmage for the Kansas City Chiefs. They did a great job of shutting down that run. And, you know, I don't know about you guys. I looked at the end of the game, and I was surprised that San Francisco got 141 yards.
Yeah, but Debo Samuel was the
he
guy.
He was 54 of them.
Yeah.
He had 54 yards. Not only that, they had on a drive, I was just kind of going through the game again, but, you know, they had on a drive 54 of those yards came on a drive in the second quarter. So that means for the other 8 drives or 8 possessions, they averaged 11 yards running the ball, the Niners did. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what, I don't care what anybody says, they had the best running game in the NFL. And you can look and see the stats are clearly, it's Baltimore. But the way they ran it, the way they executed it, everything, and, I know that all that happened with, you know, with the Ravens as well, but you also had a really athletic quarterback who ran for a lot of yards. But their offense was all about the running game, and the Chiefs shut them down except for that one drive where they had over 50 yards rushing.
Yeah, well, they did shut them down, but they were still moving the ball. The 49ers didn't punt until the fourth quarter. I just thought it was a really well-played game, evenly matched. I was surprised. I thought Damian Williams should have been the MVP. I didn't see, totally. You know, Patrick Mahomes. I know that he had a good game. He brought him back in the fourth quarter. They were down 10, and he's done that now, what, every single game in the playoffs. But I thought Damian Williams with a go-ahead touchdown and then the clinching touchdown rushing for over 100 yards should have been the MVP. But I guess that's just quibbling. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're just glad your team won. But I just felt like watching that game that if they played that Super Bowl 10 times, that the Chiefs would have won 5 times and the Niners would have won 5 times.
So it's the way it felt. It was interesting. Your ultimate takeaway, I didn't walk away from it going, that's one of the greatest Super Bowls ever, but it was entertaining. It was compelling. It was tied at the end of the first half. You looked at, I didn't think Patrick Mahomes played particularly well until the fourth quarter. I mean, this third quarter was not very good. He threw
two interceptions.
First time since week four.
And what do you have, five all year?
He was 61% completion. Yeah, I thought I was with you, Jim. Damien Williams, a guy had, 130-some yards, two touchdowns. And like you said, Mahomes threw two picks. I'm on the other side. I thought it was a poorly played game. I didn't see what was really the best pass. What was the best pass that was thrown?
The game breaking, the one that turned the game around.
Yeah, I guess I felt like
Garoppolo was that?
To Hill, the one that floated. 3rd and 15.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't maybe the best pass, but it reached its target.
Yeah, it did. It did the trick. But I mean, there was a lot of lollipop throws and wobbly throws, and by both sides, really. And I thought it wasn't necessarily this well executed game. I mean, there was, you know, you look at I thought Garoppolo probably had the best throw of the game, and it was the one that went to George Kittle outside the numbers, which he's not good at throwing in that area, and it was right on target, but yet the whole thing gets nullified because of what I thought was a very questionable push-off.
How much of their struggles, talking about the quarterbacks, do you put on the defense? Because that front four from the 49ers, as much as I wanted to see them lose, you couldn't help but feel impressed by how much pressure they were getting with four, down in, down out. Now, it wasn't resulting in a sack, but, I mean, Mahomes was running for his life. That was consistent pressure from those four guys, and it was pretty impressive to see them just be that consistent without having to, you know, bring extra bodies, having to blitz.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, and Mahomes did a good job of getting, you know, minimizing the sack yardage because I saw him, you know, scramble forward to get. But the two sacks that San Francisco got that were 1 yard, and one was Jaquiski Tartt, and the other one was Buckner and Mitchell combined, those were 1 yard sacks, and they got TDs on those drives. And this is going back to sack extravaganza.
Yeah. Is this part
numbers.
Four?
Yeah, well, it was just a mini part here. But, you know, you see Bosa had a 9 yard sack that resulted in an interception by Warner, which, you know, that was another one. But that throw by Mahomes, like, did you not see that linebacker standing right there?
Well, when he threw it, I figured, there must be some wide open chief, right?
Yeah.
When he let go of it.
Right, and he threw it right to Warner. I mean, I was just sitting there going, which I always think, of course, I probably would have dropped it, but I was like, man, I wish guys would have thrown me the ball like that. And then, you know, the other one was an interception to that Moore kid, deep, I think he was a safety, on a Buckner 9 yard sack. But, yeah, that they did get to him, but eventually Mahomes, and I'm not ripping on Mahomes, he's a great player, and I just think a generational type of player, and he's going to be a talent for a really long time. But, you know, it just wasn't one of those games where, you know, you saw like super spectacular plays. It was kind of more like, yeah, they got in this fist fight and whoever was left standing at the end. But, man, I'll tell you what, the Chiefs, you look at the Niners, and I know everybody's going to say that Kyle Shanahan blew it, because, you know, he's also the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they were ahead against the Patriots a few years back in the Super Bowl. But, you know, he did a good job all year. I just thought it was more than anything Kansas City's defensive front. They did a really good job of being really physical. Their DBs were physical on all of those, you know, plays out on the edge. And, you know, it just came back down to, you know, whoever was more physical. And, you know, we heard Quentin Jefferson say this year, start with being physical and good things happen. Mm-hmm. And that's what I thought Kansas City came out, and those guys were playing hard, old-school football. And, yeah, so it was fun to watch, no question. I guess I just thought that there was a lot of, you know, a couple of bad passes and some interceptions, and it wasn't super smooth. But in the end, Kansas City came out with the win there, and pretty awesome that it was, what, 10 minutes left, and they're down by 10?
Well, no,
it was seven minutes.
Yeah, yeah, somebody tweeted out that.
Well, until they scored, but that drive started, you know, around 9 or 10 minutes left.
Yeah, Kansas City scored to make it 20-17 with 6:13 to go, but with 7 or 8 minutes to go, San Francisco still had the ball with a 10-point lead, and I was starting to think, man, they might take a 17-point lead here and go ahead 27-10, and then even before the pass to Hill on 3rd and 15, I thought, Kansas City's going to have to punt here, and then by the time, if they're going to score twice, they're probably going to have to go for an onside kick. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think Shanahan deserved the criticism that he got. Okay, yeah, they did lose a 28-3 lead when he was offensive coordinator for the Falcons, and they had a 95% chance of winning when they had that 10-point lead with 7 minutes to go yesterday, and they didn't get it done this time either. And then they gave him a hard time for not taking a timeout when Kansas City was punting right there at midfield. And I was going to agree.
They flashed a John Lynch up in the suite. Time out.
Well, I thought about it later, though, and I've heard a lot of people talking about it today, and it made sense to take a timeout there and then get the ball with a minute and a half to go. But they were punting from midfield, and the ball went into the end zone. It came out to the 20, but typically, like if Michael Dixon's punting, you know, or whoever, I mean, San Francisco got a good punter, too, or Kansas City. And you're thinking, okay, maybe you're going to get the ball at the 10, and then you got a minute 40 to go, and Kansas City still has three timeouts, and then you might end up punting from your own 10 to them. So I think it was a chess match there, and I didn't really fault him for that. But
I would have called the timeout there, but
yeah. Listen. Well, I mean, you probably 50% of people would have done one or the other.
It's a 10-10 game, and you're getting the ball first in the third quarter.
Yeah, and if your possession doesn't go well, you know, they have all their timeouts. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, now all of a sudden you can, you know, pin them back. So, and then came that beautiful throw by Garoppolo, but it was apparently a pushing off penalty. I thought they could have let that one go. But as you pointed out, Bob, we looked it up. There weren't a lot of penalties in this
game.
9
total.
Yeah, four by one side, 5 by the other, 5 by the Niners. So, and it was 45 yards for them. It was 24 yards for the Chiefs. But, you know, that doesn't calculate in the opportunity cost. You know, that was what, the throw to Kittle, 40 yards?
Big. Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. Mike Golic this morning talking about, you know, more of this falls on the defense of the San Francisco 49ers than it does on Mahomes.
On that 3rd and 15, that was more the fault of San Francisco than the pass of Patrick Mahomes. It just was. It just was.
What about that pass to Sammy Watkins?
That pass was phenomenal.
That guy.
That pass was great. I mean, he absolutely whooped Sherman off the line, and he dropped it right in there. But you can't tell me, we shouldn't be fighting over this, but you guys
are
going
to. I'm not fighting. I'm just letting you old man yells at clouds.
I'm going to try
and
give everybody the truth here and say that was more the fault of San Francisco than the play of Patrick Mahomes.
What happened on that play? Did you go back and look at that? Because Tyreek Hill was wide open by about 10 to 15 yards, and he had to stop and wait for the ball to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, that ball hung in the air all day, and he was standing there waiting, and there was nobody. How was Tyreek Hill, of all people, that open?
Yeah, just a communication error there.
I saw that Dan Orlovsky guy on Get Up this morning talking about it. He had the screen and all the highlighters out, and it looked like the safety kind of bit on the inside move, and then – and Hill went outside.
Right. So, yeah, there was a few plays like that. I thought, you know, for anybody that was rooting for this, that Sherm looked kind of silly a few times.
Well, yeah, Watkins used him.
Yeah, and
Tyreek Hill juked him out of his shoes on that one
he
play.
Missed a tackle, and then he took some friendly fire from the inside linebacker. I thought that was going to wipe him out. You know, the friendly fire hits tend to be devastating, you know, but he came flying out there, and then Sherm gets his knees chopped out. But, yeah, you know, and he was pretty truculent with the media afterwards. He
truculent.
Was not very talkative.
Not very verbose.
5-word answers or whatever. So, and I don't know if that makes anybody feel any better.
I saw the press conference, and yeah, he was not the typical Richard Sherman we're used to seeing after victories.
Loquacious. He was a little more reserved, was he?
Yeah.
I think, you know, if you were using Twitter as a gauge, and I know that's a very small segment, but most people were rooting against Sherman and really reveling in the fact that he got burned by Watkins. Those highlights were immediately available and being retweeted all over the place. And, you know, Revis won. Revis was proven right. And, I mean, you know, whatever. But I didn't want to see San Francisco win. And one of the primary reasons was I didn't want to hear about how great they were from Richard after the game. So this was fantastic. It was just interesting because defensively, the 49ers looked so good in that first half, especially in the third quarter. They shut them out in the third quarter. They put up 10. And you're thinking, all right, well, you know, Chiefs gave it their best shot. And then the Chiefs put up 21 points in the fourth quarter and then held them scoreless. And Jimmy Garoppolo had a terrible fourth quarter. And you could argue he was outplaying Mahomes through.
Well, he was 17 for 20 at one point.
Yeah, but you look at him in the third quarter of the game, his, you know, if you can isolate this, fourth quarter of the game, Garoppolo had a quarterback rating of 2.8. 2.8. You look over at Mahomes, 100.4. Garoppolo in that quarter was 3 of 11 with a pick for 36 yards. He was horrific. He was terrible. And then Mahomes, who we just talked about, he didn't look like he normally did. He did, you know, he was errant. He was off on his, just didn't, a couple times I was almost wondering if, you know, that hit, when he got hit and the ball went out of bounds, he got hit on the arm. I'm like, man, is he hurt? Is it, he doesn't seem to have the same zip on the ball. He's throwing low. He just looks off. And then fourth quarter, Mahomes comes out 10 of 17, 141 yards and two touchdowns. Also threw a pick in that quarter, but Garoppolo just disappeared. 3 of 11 with an interception.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, earlier in the week or last week, I was thinking, I saw some numbers that indicated that Jimmy G was actually better in the fourth quarter than what the perception was. But the people who had that perception of Jimmy G not being good in the fourth quarter, well, they were right about the game last night, that's for sure.
Wow. I mean, that's a horrible time to go into a shell and disappear. And I didn't think he was elite. I questioned why they paid him as much as they did. I don't think he's terrible. I'm not going to come out of this and go, see, he's awful. I don't think he's awful. But when the game was on the line and it mattered most, when you needed your leader, the guy you paid franchise-level money to, you needed him to step up. He did not. And they can blame Shanahan for certain calls. Why didn't he call timeout here? Why didn't he go for it here? All fair criticism. It's all fair conversation. But you look at the guys who are leading these teams, and it always falls on the shoulders of the quarterback. He didn't show up. Oh, Garoppolo failed in the fourth quarter in a really big way.
No, you're right about that. But, Dave, I mean, you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, he's got an 18-4 record as a starter. I think they were 5-0 last year and then 13-4 this year. So, Dave, I mean, when you look at the Rams last year and what happened with them, and I know you weren't a Jared Goff fan, but where do you rate Jimmy G compared to Jared Goff?
Well, I have lots of questions about Jared Goff, so I'm just not sure how good he is without...
Let's just say it. Nobody's ever going to sell you on Goff.
Well, I always root for everybody, unless they're a turd. Right?
You'll never forget where the sun sets. Well, that'll never leave you.
Well, it's just because he went to Cal, too. Which is,
but Josh Rosen rates lower than anyone in Dave's book.
Yeah, Josh Rosen's not good. But yeah, so I don't know. I think Jimmy Garoppolo is probably better than everyone thinks. But, you know, they just got them out of a rhythm there because, you know, they couldn't really run the ball the way that they wanted to. So. They took that part away. I was surprised by that, but it was a great effort by that defense, and you know they weren't playing well most of this year, and then the last five games they were only giving up 10 points a game, and then they were just really physical. Again, you start out with knocking their offensive line off the ball, and that's what when good things happen. So yeah, it was. I think Garoppolo's good. But, you know, everybody's going to, of course, this is just one game, you have to remember. It's just one game, and, you know, like you said, if you play it 10 times, maybe it's five each. They're pretty well-matched teams, and, you know, on a different day, maybe they run the ball a little bit better, maybe they execute better, but they just didn't. So, yeah, I was happy, and I guess at the end I was like, man, I'm relieved that the Niners lost because bad things kind of tend to happen except for – the Patriots, as somebody texted in.
Yeah, Jim was thinking. He was thinking about bringing that up, but
yeah.
Well, yeah, I had what I thought was a great stat last week that the team that finishes the runner-up team in the Super Bowl doesn't return to the Super Bowl the next year. And my research showed that it went all the way back to the Buffalo Bills when they made a run of four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But someone pointed out that hey, Jim, you know, just a couple of years ago the Patriots lost, and then they came back. And
your
won
response
the next
was,
year. Oh. Yeah,
you said, I considered bringing that up.
Yeah, well, I actually was going to. But
One more from Golic just to finish with Garoppolo and the plays that he didn't make.
Third and 10 on Kansas City's 49, and Emmanuel Sanders splits two defenders, and he's got a step or two on the defenders. It is there. I just saw that play develop. They even show the replay of Kyle Shanahan. Everybody was like, this is a touchdown. This is a touchdown. Drop the ball in, and you now have the lead again in the Super Bowl. And he way overthrew him. That could have been the Jimmy G moment right there in his hand.
Well, Russell would have hit him.
Yeah.
You believe it, right? Best deep ball thrower in the league by people, not just here in Seattle. People, you hear the national pundits talk about that being his strength. It just,
you imagine if you're a Chiefs fan watching that and seeing Sanders.
Oh, you're
behind your
screaming,
defense.
No. And then yes. Yeah, I mean you're it's the worst case scenario. They're going to lock up they're going to ice this game at that point. They're going to it just, you have to make the play. And I know it's easy for me to say I'm not out there on the field, but I'm also not the one that was paid $140 million to go out there and be the face of this franchise and paid like an elite quarterback. And when you talk about elite, this is, you're in the promised land. This is the Super Bowl. We can talk about his regular season record and hey, he's 28 and this or 20-5, whatever his record is. That's great. But when you needed him most, when the ultimate prize was on the line, he didn't show up.
No, you're right, Bob, but let's say you're a 49ers fan and you're looking at the game today. Are you blaming Garoppolo for the loss? I wouldn't
he's
be.
He's part of it.
He's part of it, but I'd be watching the game going, you know, okay, Jimmy G's still a young guy, and we got to the Super Bowl. We had a terrific year this year, but I don't think I'm singling out Jimmy Garoppolo as the reason the 49ers lost.
He would be part of the blame pie we talk about. He would get a slice. You could get into play calling. We'll get into all that, and I think Maura was working diligently on some 49er fan reaction she was listening to today. So we'll see who everybody is pointing the finger at out there in San Francisco. But right now, let's take two.
Take two!
UW dropped their fifth straight on Saturday, losing 87-83 to Arizona State.
You know, Dave sent out a text while this was going on about, you know, Calais Campbell just killed it at this thing. I'm thinking, what's he talking about? Because I was busy watching the University of Washington Huskies gack another one. I'm just sitting there watching this going, this is like Groundhog Day.
And what did we find out, Bob? We found out that you should have taped the game.
Yes.
Like I did.
Yeah.
Watch the NFL Honors show where Steve Harvey was hilarious.
I blew it.
Calais, we saw Russell and Ciara there. Just
totally
beautiful
blew it.
Couple. That the beginning of that game, just chucking up threes. It was just like, what is going on with this team?
It's, I don't know.
Did they look uncoached again?
They just look out of sorts. They don't look together. They just, and I know it's freshmen. I get that they're young. And
yeah, you know, but you look at all the teams in college basketball, not all of them, but there's so many with a bunch of freshmen and sophomores playing.
They have talent. It's clear that you have individual talent on this team, but cohesively together, they don't play well. They just do not. And that's, at this point, that's just reinforcing the obvious. They are not functioning well as a team. They just don't.
I don't know what they're going to do with Jaden McDaniels. Here he is, a lottery pick, and you're starting to wonder about, you know, whether, I mean, he doesn't look like a one-and-done kid anymore. And maybe, you know what they'll do? They'll figure it out in time when they go to Pullman next week. They'll probably figure it out by then. I hope not.
I wouldn't. If
but they're,
if
playing,
I'm
they're
now,
playing the Cougs
the
next Sunday.
I'd bet on the Cougs.
Well, that's usually what happens.
Well, first off, shout out to former Seahawk Steve Hutchinson for getting into the Hall of Fame. But I also feel like we should mention here, changing it up a little, that the Mariners announced today that they have signed Marco Gonzalez to a four-year contract extension.
Yeah, $30 million, which in baseball dollars for a guy who you're looking at as your number one starter right now feels like a bargain, doesn't it?
I was thinking the same thing, and it's nice if you're Marco to get that guaranteed money.
Awesome money, but when we're looking at the contracts, some of the one starter, even the twos in this league get, $30 million over 4 years seems really reasonable.
Yes. You know what? The Seahawks should have paid Hutch $30 million.
You're absolutely right.
Just to bring it all full circle. Yeah. You see what I did there, Jim?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, congrats to both. Congrats to Marco on that, and congrats to Hutch, who I hope goes in as a Seahawk. There's debate as to whether he'll be a Viking or a Seahawk.
And who else did he? Was he with the Titans maybe for a little while?
Did he?
Am I wrong about that? Well, I know he was working for him. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, it was nice seeing Hutch go in. And also for me, two guys that I know, you know, Hutch a little bit, but Steve Atwater.
Yeah.
So happy to see him go in.
Yeah, very cool. So some good stuff happening right there. Meanwhile, does this loss for the 49ers make you more confident in the Seahawks competing for the NFC West next year? Talk about that next. It's Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at 4 o'clock today, in place of the professor who's traveling, Paul Moyer will join us, talk some football. We'll look back at this game, get his take on what took place. Reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's driven by Dubin Law Group. And by the way, if you go to 710sports.com and you click on Watch Live, we got a brand new video feature where you can watch the show. Cameras will zero in on whoever's talking. We've got cameras in the control room, which I know they love back there. Nobody loves being on video more than Dave Wyman.
Yeah, I don't like that. You know, when I was a little kid, my mom
said... Right now the video's on you.
Yeah, I know. I'm just not going to talk. How about that? Then they can't... when I was a little kid, my mom told me that if people ever looked at me like, she's like, oh, he's a cute little boy or whatever. Oh, look at, he's a little devil, whatever. And I would put my arm up over my face.
You didn't like want that kind
so
of attention.
So they wouldn't look at me. I don't care for it.
It started as a young boy. All right. Well, it's there for you. You can
Are we supposed to sell it?
You can chat on there. Just know that Dave is reluctantly being being filmed by the camera when you're watching this. So just go to 710sports.com, click watch live. There's a chat portion on the video screen where you can jump in on the conversation, all of that. So have fun with it. There you go.
Yeah, I think Brenna was in here telling us to sell it, so I'm just kidding.
She's giving two thumbs up now. And don't look at Dave. When he pops on the screen, just look away.
Yeah.
Look away. He's hideous. meanwhile, does this loss for the 49ers make you more confident? We'll go back to Jim's almost accurate stat.
Well, I'm looking at the list again, wise guy. So, okay, maybe I was off by one team.
All right.
Okay, so, yeah, I think so, because I think there's a curse for the team that finishes second in the Super Bowl. And so, because there's only been one team, the Patriots, 3 years ago, that lost and then returned to the Super Bowl the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And in case people weren't here for the previous segment, it hadn't happened since the Bills had that run of four in a row back in the early to mid-90s.
Right.
So, if you go off of history, chances are that San Francisco is going to have a little rougher go of it this following season.
How do you think, because you can look at the demise of the Legion of Boom here in Seattle. You can look at the personalities. We can talk about Richard Sherman and how he never got over the Super Bowl. He never got over the Super Bowl loss. That seems pretty well documented. How do you think he handles it in San Francisco? Because there's questions about the play calling. There's questions. You know, I was listening to a clip this morning of all people, Stephen A. Smith, who was reliving the Seahawks thing and saying, I had players in that room tell me that they never got over it.
Is he saying that stuff again today?
Yeah, because he was connecting it to what you saw there in San Francisco, where players were on the sidelines, according to him, looking at Shanahan like, what are you doing? Why aren't you going for it here? Why aren't you calling it tight? Like questioning this coach. And I'm wondering, all right, is Sherman going to handle this loss in a much more mature fashion? Is he going to be different than he was in Seattle? Or is this going to lead to some level of an implosion where they're going to start losing respect on some level for their head coach?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I heard a guy talk about this. He's a GM of a team that won a Super Bowl. And so, you know, some of the other GMs were asking him, what can I expect from either, you know, result going into the Super Bowl, whether you lose or whether you win? And, you know, and his advice was, if you win, there's going to be everybody wants to take credit for it. And everybody is going to think that they were a bigger part of it. It's just, maybe not everybody, but certain players will want more credit. And then, you know, and I thought, well, maybe that happened a little bit with Russell Wilson, and the defense was the reason why they won that Super Bowl in, you know, Super Bowl 48. Absolutely. So, and, you know, look, you're defensive players and you're not like superstars like quarterbacks. So, you know, those are the kind of things that happen to a team. And I think the same thing happens when you lose. You know, you mentioned the pie of blame. I mean, who gets the, you know, those plays that Kyle Shanahan was calling, they worked all year. And so did the defense. You know, that stuff all worked, you know. And so, look, it's always about who executes the longest and can do it the most consistently. And that's what it's about. But, yeah, I mean, look, you throw in Jim's human nature about people, which, once again, human nature is not deciding to go out and not play hard when you're playing a crappy team in the NFL, because nobody's crappy. Anyways, even when you're paid millions of dollars and you're a professional. So, but yeah, I mean, everybody wants to get paid and wants to be the one that is the reason why. And then when you lose, it's about finger pointing and not being able to get over it. And that's something that, you know, you have to have a good, solid team. That's the bad news, because I feel like this is a pretty good team, the 49ers. You know, they start with the character, you know, and I was listening to John Lynch talk about that before the game. And, you know, he was going through the whole thing with Kevin Burkhardt, because he used to be on a Fox team, you know, with him calling games. And, you know, he kind of called Shanahan when he got the job in San Francisco, and then was talking about it. But he was talking about, look, we want guys that care about one another, that they want to be part of a team. And I feel like that San Francisco team is pretty good that way. You see that Jimmy Garoppolo is very humble. George Kittle, that guy has like all of the, you know what he said before the game? He said, when I hit a guy and I hear his exhale, he goes, I feel like that's his soul leaving his body. And I'm like, I want that guy. I want that guy, you know. And you saw there was a block that he had against Atlanta where he just buried a guy. And as he turns over, you can see from just like from the game film, he's got this huge smile on his face and he's laughing. So, I mean, those are the kinds of guys that they have there. I don't think they have any of those, you know, bad seed type of guys. And so that's, you know, that's going to be key for them. And so, you know, it's kind of funny with Sherman being sort of the leader on that team of knowing, hey, this is what it's like to win. This is what it's like to lose. So he gets to be the guy to go and lecture everybody how we need to behave. That might be good news for Seahawk fans because, and look, that nobody reacted worse than him, I don't think.
No, by all accounts, he wasn't alone. He certainly was not alone in questioning Pete Carroll and Bevel and the whole coaching staff and Cable, but he seemed to have the biggest issue in with letting it go. Couldn't let it go.
Yeah, see, I don't think there's going to be an issue with Sherman in San Francisco, though, especially just if he's talking about, if he's one of the guys that questions the play calling, he can't really do that this time because...
Because he got his butt kicked?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you'd say, well, Richard, what about Sammy Watkins and what happened to you?
Yeah. So, well, hang on. The Seahawks defense, we all focus on that play for good reason. Seahawks defense coughed up a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
so he was
right.
Not without blame in that loss. Had the defense maintained their job, I understand injuries factor into it, but the defense coughed up a 10-point lead, one of, what is it, three in the last six Super Bowls where teams have coughed up double-digit leads in the fourth quarter? They were one of them. So,
see, that's the question I probably would have asked Richard Sherman yesterday. You know, hey, Richard, you know, you've been part of a Super Bowl team now twice that's given up a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Well, your comment.
You think that would have been poorly received?
Thoughts, Richard.
Your thoughts.
I would love to be there for that.
Wouldn't have worked out too well.
Well, he didn't react, you know, horribly to the safety that was behind him on that play, you know, where it took him down to, what, the 10-yard line, that catch, where it looked like he clearly got beat. So, you know, he just kind of turned around and didn't really say anything. It would just make you wonder, though, wouldn't it, if he doesn't complain and cause some big problem, what's the difference? What's the difference down there, you know, versus up here? Why was it such a big stinky deal up here?
Because it felt like it all turned on one specific decision.
Yeah.
Even though, again, they coughed up that lead in that game. People forget about the defense coughing that lead up.
You're right.
But the perception is game was in the pocket. They were ready to celebrate back-to-back, and Pete and Cable and Bevel all elected to just call this play out of nowhere, and what were you thinking by not giving it to Marshawn Lynch?
Right. Real quick, Dave, before we go to break, Richard Sherman at the age of 32 next year, do you reach a point at being a corner where you would shift position somewhere else?
Yeah.
Or do you stay at cornerback there at that age?
It's a good question because with his speed, remember Darryl Green?
He maintained his speed.
Like when he was 34, he was still running like a 4.440. So, and Sherm hasn't, but his smarts can definitely keep him in the game. Yeah, if he could play safety or inside, you know, in the nickel, that guy can hit, man. I mean, he had a couple of good tackles in that game.
All right, coming up back on Friday, Jim demanded praise today if he got his predictions right. So, how did he do on those predictions? We'll reflect next with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Coming up at 4 o'clock, Paul Moyer will join us in place of the professor who is traveling today. So stay tuned for that. We'll get his thoughts on what we all watched last night and what it may mean moving forward for the Seahawks. Maybe he agrees that the 49ers could crumble a bit. Maybe they take a big step back next year. But on Friday, we made some predictions, but none bolder than the predictions of Jim Moore, who said something along these lines.
Travis Kelce at 18-1, lock number two.
Well, hang on.
Is Travis Kelce being the MVP of the Super Bowl? And I want everyone to remember these, because when I come in here on Monday, I want praise.
But you're picking the Niners to win, but you're also predicting that Kelce is going to be the MVP.
Well, yeah, that's part of the charm of the segment, Bob.
Okay.
It's, you know, like so,
wait, the segment has charm?
So, in the middle of all that was Jim demanding praise when he was right on these. And I was thinking when the coin flip happened, I couldn't remember if you bet on that, but I do remember you saying, you know, don't you feel like it's heads every time? Don't you always feel like you should take heads? And Dave was like, no, it's 50-50. And then it came up tails, and I'm going, did Jim already lose before the game started? Is he already losing?
Well, the error there in that question was, don't you feel like I – no, it's not about feelings. It's about statistics.
And that, I know.
Did you 50, bet on the coin flip? 50.
No.
Okay.
I did not. Degenerates bet on the coin flip.
You were my first
you
thought.
You know, I'm in the same ballpark as a degenerate, but not quite there yet.
I thought Hold Jim is losing before well, one snap.
What, there was a Pee Wee baseball team that you bet
oh,
on
Oh, I did
time.
Bet on Little League Baseball, the World Series one time, yeah. I did do that. Yeah, that qualifies.
Is that better than a coin toss?
Yeah, I did bet on 12-year-olds. I admit it.
No, that's the coin toss would have been more favorable.
You think so? Then
betting on little 12-year-olds.
Well, it was the World Series.
Okay.
See, you get like on the what were the odds on that?
I can't remember.
I'm talking about the coin toss.
Oh, the coin toss was you bet 110 to win 100 or something. Yeah, it was both ways.
All right.
So Sherman called tails, and it came up tails.
Yeah. So you said the 49ers would win. Kelce would be the MVP.
Okay.
Roughing the passer.
Yeah.
Oh, and was there a roughing a passer?
Yeah, and
no,
it would go to overtime.
There wasn't. No, if people missed it, we brought back the smoke and lock of the week last week.
Triumphant return.
And we shouldn't have done that.
No, we should have.
No, we shouldn't have. We just brought it back. It was a special Super Bowl edition. And I thought since I had so much rest in between the last time we did smoke and lock, which was last season, that maybe my picks would get better, you know, over some time, that I'd learned something over time. And no, I went 0 for 4. Because I had San Francisco plus 1.5. Here's something I really didn't appreciate from you, Bob. Well, you were mentioning that how could I pick San Francisco and then also pick Travis Kelce to be the MVP?
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't make sense to you.
It didn't make sense.
Because if San Francisco wins, they're not going to have a losing member of the team there be MVP.
Most likely not.
No. But did you know that Chuck Howley won the MVP for Dallas when they lost to the Colts back in Super Bowl V? So I felt like there was precedent for this to happen. I just wanted to throw that in your face.
Really?
Yeah, Chuck Howley.
Did you look that up over the weekend?
I heard some guy on some station talking about it.
I was going to say, you should have had that handy the first
some
time.
Some guy on no, some I didn't, station.
Yeah. Is one time in 54 years a precedent, Jim?
I believe so.
Well, as long as it happens it's a precedent,
It means that at least it happened once.
I like that you said
it's
some
not
guy
a trend.
On some station.
But to be honest with you, I didn't think that through very clearly.
A friend is your friend, Jim.
First of all, Smoke and Lock is a great segment. People appreciated it being back. Second of all, if you were right on two of them, I think people would go, eh. The fact that you were a clean sweep, I think people really liked that. I think it'd been disappointing if you were.
They like it that I was over?
Oh, yeah. I think they prefer that. Somewhere they get a kick out of it.
Somewhere in the system, there's you stunning Danny, where he's like, We talked about this on Friday.
Yeah.
Because you said to him, what would you know about good radio? We'll have to try to find that. But Jim was also kind of, when you brought that up, was kind of...
I came close.
It's part of the charm of the...
Yeah, I know. Of the segment. I thought of that, Dave. I thought of Danny struggling there. No, the roughing the passer. Didn't you think there was going to be a roughing the passer in the game?
I predicted there would be one. I'll say now.
There
I don't
wasn't
think it was,
one.
It was, it's not a bad bet based on the way games are officiated these days. I don't blame you for...
They should have called one on the Chiefs when the guy kind of shoved Garoppolo.
No, they shouldn't have.
No?
No. Oh. No, I know that the sideline was aching for it. They're all screaming, but no. I didn't think so.
But the one that I really wanted to come in because it happened for me 3 years ago when I wrote a post for 710sports.com, Bob, 710sports.com, that the game would go overtime between the Falcons and the Patriots, and it happened. So I recycled that sucker this year. And I was thinking, well, the point spread's so close. San Francisco's getting 1.5. That suggests that the game's going to be really close. And the game was. It was tied at halftime. And then the Chiefs, when they were down there trailing 20-17, I was thinking, oh, man, just get in position for a Harrison Butker field goal or whatever. Then it'd be 20-20, and we'd have the overtime game. But they went to review, and they gave Damian Williams a touchdown there. He looked like he maybe got the tip just over the plane a little bit.
Yeah, that was one where you looked at it, and their rule is unless they've got – you know, just evidence that's you can't dispute, you're not going to overrule the call on the field, right? Mm-hmm. If there's gray area, like, it's hard to tell. It's got to be indisputable.
I thought they made the right call there.
I thought they did, too.
But it was close, though, because his foot was out of bounds. His toes were out of bounds.
Absolutely close.
Right, simultaneously when the ball was right there at the goal line.
Yeah, it was a very close call. But when they made the call on the field and you started seeing the replays, you could make it, you're like, yeah, I guess I could see where you'd say maybe it didn't. But there was nothing conclusive. They couldn't overturn it. based on the replays we were seeing at home anyway.
No, that's true. And so that put overtime out the window. But so, yeah, 0 for 4 with the return of the smoke and lock. And I think it was so successful. You know what we should do is bring it back for the XFL season. What do you think?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes. XFL smoke and locks.
Smoke and lock.
I'm sure that would be a really hot segment.
People
you think,
like
Bob?
It. Great. I do. I think people like it. And like I said, I think they're more satisfied or they have more fun with it when you're wrong.
I'll be interested to see how you come up with your picks. Beings it's the XFL, and we don't really know too much about these players so far. Mora does, but we don't.
That's true.
You'll have to get and tap into Mora's mindset.
Oh, yeah, I could use...
Do you want to be part of that, Mora? Do you want to be part of the smoke alarm?
I don't know.
Maybe you don't.
I'm employed by them now. I have to check if this is okay.
Maybe she shouldn't be involved with the gambling aspect of it. But,
I still like the Niners in 1.5, Dave. It's a day later.
Jim, it's still...
still love the Niners in that
day
one.
Later. It's still a good bet.
A day later, I still love it. Still love it.
I'm kind of with Jim on that one.
What's that?
Oh, I just thought I was Niners? Convinced the Niners were going to win.
I'm with you. I wanted the Chiefs desperately to win. I was trying to talk myself into it, but when it came down to it, I was like, I think the Niners are going to win. But happy to be wrong.
People
so
won't like
happy
this
to be wrong.
From me hearing this from me, I think I said earlier, there was a couple of times where I was yelling out in favor of the Niners. It's like, oh, that's a catch. And my family is going, what are you talking about? What are you doing?
Who are you
right now? I don't know.
Who are you?
Thought they were the better team.
We don't even know you now. Paul Moyer is in for the professor as he makes his way back from the Super Bowl, or the Uber Bowl, as it's being termed here on the sheet. He's got some good thoughts on Garoppolo's limitations and all of that. We'll talk to him next year with Bob, Dave, and more on 710 ESPN Seattle.